Casey, his point pass kept in. Moore walks the line, fires and scores. May have changed direction in front, but the Devils have a 2-0 lead. Now Radulov coming. Radulov shoots and scores. Radulov with a snapshot, and the Canadians are finally on the board. Palmieri, right point, puck on its side. He sends it through. Zajac scores. Travis Zajac picked up the rebound. And 6 seconds into the power play, the Devils make it 3-1. Deneau coming in on the right side, sending it through. A kick save there by Schneider. Pacioretty down deep. Puck jumps up in the air here in the left corner. Radulov back at the half boards. Long shot by Beaulieu. Loose puck. They score. It bounced right to Pacioretty. He fires it in. And once again, the Habs with a quick response. And it's a one-goal game one more time. Shaw point pass. But he put it right to Camilleri. Coming is Nason. Camilleri to Stefan Nason. Stopped by Montoya. Canadians get the puck. Pacioretty shoots it. Stye scores.
That's
it. Pacioretty scores.
You're right. That's it.
Schneider got a piece of it, but it trickles home. And the captain's second of the game ties it at 3 with 51.8 left. Radulov at the corner. Up top it comes. Weber to Galchenyuk. He shoots and scores. Galchenyuk with the winner in overtime. And the Canadians come all the way back and win 4-3.
What a finish. What a finish and what a setup.
Welcome back. It's hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 on game night. Now the Habs have to host the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are a lot more rested after that comeback in the third period last night. And they did something we discussed yesterday they haven't been able to do in almost 7 weeks. That's win back-to-back games. But you know what? They got one more game in February to be able to win in regulation time. They haven't won a game in regulation for the entire month of February. Along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
Lucky man, 3 days in Chicago this week. There for the game tomorrow night between the Blackhawks and the Pittsburgh Penguins on NBC Rivalry Night. How you doing, Pierre Maguire?
I'm good, Mitch, and don't forget trade deadline tomorrow. I'll be working all day at the old United Center, so it'll be a long day at the hockey rink tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
A little thing called the deadline. Kind of like last night's game, never in doubt.
Hold on.
Oh, we're not even, we don't think about our division, we don't think about tomorrow. What's tomorrow, the deadline?
Yes,
we're not even, we don't even, yeah, we don't, one thing about our team this year is we're just trying to take each day.
That is John Tortorella today, Pierre.
That's good. Yeah. Well, the trade deadline's coming tomorrow. They might make a move, but they've got a good group. John's done a really good job. I commend him. I really enjoyed my time around him probably 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I forget. But it was a Ranger-Columbus game. Rangers won, but John was, he was plugged in. He coached well.
Well,
and he's improved. He's improved a lot as a person. He's improved a lot as a coach.
Well, you figure, you know, they got a night off. Maybe he's going to watch his opponent tonight. But
did you watch the game last night?
Nope. I haven't even watched him. I know Claude. I know how he coaches. Even Michael. They're both very good coaches. It's a good team.
All right. So when he talks to his team tonight before the game, he will have seen, right? Don't they have video coaches? If you don't want to watch the game as the head coach, don't you have video coaches who put some kind of package together for you?
Oh, yeah. No, Brad Shaw will be in charge of that stuff. They'll have Brad Larson, the other assistant there. They'll have this all mapped out. I mean, John will deliver the motivational tome probably, but I'm sure Brad Shaw and Brad Larson will be much involved with the video breakdown, especially with the penalty kill. So it's just little things like that, and it's smart to delegate. One voice gets old. I learned that from Bob Johnson a long time ago. That's really how I got my break in the NHL. Bob just wanted to delegate and basically put me in charge of a lot of different things. And so you learn to deal with crowds and star players and how to run a dressing room. And, you know, a lot of coaches like to micromanage. I think it's good that they don't in terms of being the head coach, because your voice gets old in a hurry in this league if you're not smart about it.
We'll get back to the matchup tonight at the Bell Center in just a moment. Back to last night in Newark.
You know, if we can put together wins, it seems like that's been a hot topic, and sometimes that can leak into the room and guys, you know, feel a little bit fragile. But as professional athletes, we have to make sure mentally we're stronger than that.
Max Pacioretty, whatever his name is, plugging the Hot Topic radio show between Sean Campbell and Mitch Gallo every Saturday here on TSN 690. Pierre, honestly, Pacioretty, magnificent. Radulov, magnificent. Galchenyuk for the second game in a row, goal and an assist. Shea Weber picked up a couple of assists. Al Montoya with some big saves in goal. So the goaltending is fine. Other than that, it's like, how much further can you go with five guys doing it every night?
You can't. That's why I said what I said sarcastically off the top. Never in doubt. That thing was, they pulled, you know, defeat, or they pulled victory out of the hands of defeat just because certain guys wouldn't let them lose, and Corey Schneider wasn't particularly good.
No, he wasn't.
That's how that thing went down. I mean, I watched the whole game, and that... That was not one of Corey's better games. That's not Montreal's fault. Montreal played well when they had to in the third period, but that is not a recipe for success against the better teams in the league. The New Jersey Devils are buried. Their players know they're going to start moving guys out. So that's just how it is. And that, again, you don't want this to become a habit. You try to break that habit tonight on home ice because they haven't played particularly well on home ice. Time to reward your fans.
Oof. That's a tough assignment. They're 4-8 in their last 12 home games. They're, as I mentioned, Columbus is rested. The last two games, they look like the team that was steamrolling everybody early and sent out notice that this is a team that's healthy this year, and it's a different vibe in Columbus. And this is a game where Carey Price is going to have his probably his game of the year in order for them to get a point or two.
There's two things you can look at tonight. One, there's rest, and then there's Montreal rest. So you have to wonder, you know, if Columbus behaved themselves. If they behaved themselves and they did get quality rest, this is a very difficult assignment for Carey Price. And that's obviously going to be really important, much like Montoya was important last night. But this is where other guys have to play a little guilty for the Canadiens. There's some guys in that team that need to start bringing a little bit more pressure to the party. They really do. It just hasn't worked for them, and they need to be better.
Well, on that point, can there be some kind of reverse psychology in a positive way for the Canadiens, considering how brutal they were for the first 40 minutes last night? Can they at least come up and show up early to make amends for what happened last night?
Well, that's why I said there's some guys that need to play early, or play guilty early on. That's going to be really important, Rod. But yes, absolutely, and that's where you kind of hope that the leadership kicks in on the team. That's where you hope that, you know, Max and Andre in particular, and Shea can get a message across to the rest of the team. Carey doesn't say much of the morning of a game. At least he shouldn't be. That's just not his thing. But I would say the leadership's going to have to get the attention of most of these players going into this game tonight, because Mitch Melnyk nailed it. This is a big pass. This is a really good team, Columbus. Really good.
You know, the team is still so fresh for Claude Julien, Pierre. And with those guys that aren't going, as a coach, when you're new to a situation, how long do you have to wait before you can, like, break out the whip?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think Claude knows the guys that are going to need the whip, and I think Claude knows the guys that are going to need the velvet glove. It's a little early to go to the whip, but I think not before too long. I'd give it by the end of this weekend. Once the trade line deadline is come and gone, then you know the team that you're going to have. Then I think all bets are off. Then I think he goes to the whip on some guys. I really do. I think, but you wait until the trade deadline and probably until after this weekend.
Yeah, he juggled the lines a bit. He's been in observation mode until last night. Now he's kind of taken control here as the head coach of a new team.
So he's going to, I can tell you this, because I've seen him do it in Boston. He's going to start challenging guys here. He probably hasn't. He's probably been more of the nurturing father. But now he's going to say, hey, I've seen your report card, and I'm not really happy with it, and I don't want to have any more bad grades, so you're going to get going here. Because we've allowed you to do it your way, and if you don't start doing it my way, it's going to be problematic. That's basically what he's been doing right now. You can see he's been in a kind of a mode where he's evaluating. But at some point, you do. It's just, listen, nice guys don't win in this league. I hate to tell you. You know, they just don't. You don't win as a nice guy in the league. You got to be tough.
Nice guys only win in the movies. I remember former Expo Rodney Scott telling me that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So, the Montreal Canadiens and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight, against the backdrop of the trade deadline, there are guys who are going to hit the ice tonight who probably won't be a Hab at this time tomorrow. Bergeron was speaking was after firing Michel Therrien, and Arpin Basu of NHL.com asked him point blank, do you think this team that you have assembled here is good enough to contend? And he didn't hesitate, and he said yes. Do you think he really believes that? Or was that
contend
something that he has to say?
Contend for a playoff spot? Contend to win the division?
Contend for the Eastern Conference Final and the Cup. Do you think he really believes that, or was that something he's got to say publicly to support his players?
He may believe it. He may believe it in his own mind because he spent 5 years putting the team together. He very well may believe it. I think that's a stretch. I do. I think it's a stretch. I think if you're reasonable about it, I think if they're a playoff team, even though I've been concerned about them, I still think they're a playoff team. I think that potentially if they get the right first-round matchup, they could win. And if Carey gets in Fuego, then potentially they can do something. But to say right away, we're a lead pipe cinch to win the Eastern Conference and get in the Stanley Cup Final, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Do you think their play of late as this management team has assembled here to prepare for tomorrow or today or both, he recognizes that as he looks at players and they're just, you keep waiting, right? You keep waiting and waiting, and before you know it, the season is lost.
Well, that's the key to management. The best managers sense when there's trouble and they fix it fast. They don't let the market be dictated to them. They dictate the marketplace, and that's the Lou Lamoriello theory. 6-year plan, 5-year plan, 4-year plan, you get the number plan, and then obviously you got the 2-week plan and the 1-day plan. You gotta have it all planned out. I mean, that's his thing, and that's what he does. And it's worked for him for a long time. You have to have a plan. If things go off the trail, you got to get it back on the trail pretty quick. So, I don't know. I mean, I would be not telling you or the listeners the truth if I thought that they were the favorite to win the Stanley Cup in the Eastern Conference.
Nobody believes that.
I don't even think they're close to that.
Nobody believes that. Not even Mark Bergeron believes that he's the favorite to win the Cup. It's just he was asked, do you think this team is a contender? And he said yes.
He's not lying, because anybody that wears a sweater in the league is a contender. If they're a legit contender, and that's another story.
All right, let's get to a couple of moves here, and we'll circle back to the Canadiens before we say goodbye. The Rangers picking up Brendan Smith, the guy that Rod Francis had on his wish list for the Montreal Canadiens. They give up a second and a second next year and a third this year.
They didn't pay a big price. Now, here's what you need to know about Brendan Smith. In his draft year, Wisconsin had 3 first-round picks, Kyle Turris, Ryan McDonough, and Brendan Smith. They were all going to Wisconsin to be freshmen together. Turris left after 1 year to turn pro. McDonough and Smith played there for 3 years, so they're very good friends. But there was a guy that came along that's a big part of the Rangers now at Wisconsin after their first year there, and that was Derek Stepan. So when you have Brendan Smith around Ryan McDonough, Derek Stepan, that's going to help Brendan Smith a lot. But this is the key to the deal. Dan Girardi usually plays with Ryan McDonough on the right side. Dan Girardi has given his body and his soul to the New York Rangers for 10 years. He's hurt bad. I will not tell you what's wrong with him, but he's hurt bad. They need to give him a rest. And getting Brendan Smith is going to help them a lot, because it'll put Brendan Smith on the right side with McDonough. And that'll break him into the Rangers, and it'll make it an easier game for Brendan Smith to play, playing with McDonough.
I've liked a lot of what I've seen from Smith out of Detroit. He does so much more than his numbers would suggest, Pierre. I mean, he skates a lot more, 18, 17 points a year. He does a lot more than that.
I go back to watching him play for St. Michael's Juniors, and he played with Michael McKenzie, Bob's son. And I used to go to a lot of those games when Brendan was playing there. And I can tell you at the time, what stood out about him, Rod, more than anything was his skating that you alluded to. And as he's gotten older, he's really grown and muscled up. And he's a very powerful man. But here's his, they're every player, it's kind of like James Wisniewski when Montreal got him. And I told you, you're going to love him most nights, but there are nights where you're going to say, where's his brain at? Because it clicks out. Brendan Smith has that same component. For whatever reason, especially when he's deep in his own zone, he has some boogeymen that attack him and force him to turn the puck over in bad spots.
Poltergeist. Ottawa Ottawa signed Alex Burrows to a 2-year extension yesterday after getting him from Vancouver, and they picked up Victor Stahlberg today from Carolina for a 3rd-round pick. And who's the kid they're bringing back from Sweden? There's also a depth guy that they just
Oh, no, they're bringing Chris DiDomenico. He's coming in from Switzerland, I think, actually.
Yeah.
DiDomenico actually played on the 09 World Junior team, which was played in Ottawa, and the assistant coach was Guy Boucher of that team. And he also played in the Quebec League when Guy was coaching in the Quebec League. So Guy knows, obviously, and Mark Crawford know him really well from Switzerland, but Guy knows him unbelievably well. DiDomenico is a great offensive player. He's had some terrible lower body injuries. I think that's what's really hurt him in terms of being an everyday NHL player, because I can tell you, in 09, he was a Toronto draft pick. Toronto was really counting on him to be a home run hitter in terms of producing offense, but he had some lower body injuries that really stalled his career in North America anyways. In terms of Victor Stahlberg, bigger bodies, won a cup, knows how to skate, skates really well. They've had tons of injuries up front. It gives them a little bit of size, and maybe it's setting something up for maybe trading Curtis Lazar. I don't know. They haven't been happy with Curtis Lazar, but here's the thing you need to know about Ottawa, and I'm not rubbing it in on Canadiens fans. They have 2 A-plus level prospects in Colin White and Tom Chabot.
Anybody who watched the junior hockey championship,
ready for NHL prime time, and they'll be there next year. And I'm telling you, I watch Boston College all the time, and Colin White's the real McCoy. He's Patrice Bergeron. Yeah, that's what he is. And these guys are really good players. So Ottawa's in a pretty good position going forward. I think Pierre Dorion Jr. and Randy Lee, his assistant, have done a really, really strong job there in the last year and a bit. They really have.
Do the Penguins respond to the Capitals getting Shattenkirk?
They're trying. Mitch, I can tell you they're trying. They're trying big time to respond and get somebody. I don't know what they're going to get, but they're trying.
Mm-hmm. They were in
on Shattenkirk. I can tell you that. They were in. The Shattenkirk deal is interesting. I don't know how many people in Montreal know Zach Sanford. Zach Sanford's a big, big, strong winger who I think is just scratching the surface. I know Washington did not want to give him up, but they had to. And the other thing is St. Louis has a player by the name of Tage Thompson coming. Tage was a first-round pick, played for the Americans at the World Junior. He didn't play a lot. He plays at the University of Connecticut. They start their Hockey East playoffs this weekend. Northeastern University, with Jimmy Madigan as a coach, plays against University of Connecticut. This will probably be the end of Tage Thompson's career. I think what St. Louis is quietly doing is trying to build their team with these bigger wingers like Tage Thompson and like Zach Sanford. So I actually like that deal for St. Louis, but I don't think Pittsburgh had enough artillery to go out and make a deal to get Shattenkirk. But I think they'll try to do something.
Gallo, anything brewing? Come on, this is compared to yesterday. This is like it's too peaceful.
Yeah, no, nothing's brewing right now.
This is good for you guys, though, right, Pierre? So you're going to be part of that Trade Center coverage via satellite.
Sure, that's the plan. Yeah, no, I have to be at the rink here in Chicago. I'll be there by 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. They won't have me up right from the start. They just can't get into the building. I think there's a basketball game or something here tonight. I don't know. Something's going on at the United Center. So I can't get in there till I know for sure it's 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. So that's when I'll be on, starting then.
Habs and Blue Jackets tonight, Nick Foligno.
I think we're learning, too, because I think after the start of the season where we were starting to become the team that was chased, we didn't know how to handle it. We didn't handle it the right way, and we kind of lost ourselves a little bit. But I think you're seeing now a team that's comfortable being the one that's chased and enjoying that competition now. And so we're excited about our progress as a team, as a group. You can see us growing, and that's great signs going forward.
All right. Again, the task for those who missed the beginning with Pierre, I'm not afraid to use the word based on how much work and energy they had to use to come back last night. This is like a monumental task against Columbus on home ice tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, this isn't a gimme at all. This is tough. I love what Nick said, by the way. This is what we talk about all the time with teams learning how to win. There's a difference between being the hunter or the hunted. It's a lot easier being the hunter than it is to be the hunted, and you have to develop a really hard skin to be the hunted. They've learned how to do that. I totally concur with that. But no, not easy at all for Montreal. They're going to have really good goaltending, stay out of the penalty box. That power play is lethal. Get pucks in deep. Target Werenski. Zach Werenski is a hugely important player for that team, as is Seth Jones. Do not let those guys run the game. If Seth Jones and Zach Werenski run the game, you're not winning tonight. I can tell you that. And Alexander Wennberg, if you're going to the game, just watch him play. He's the best player in the league that nobody knows. I'm just telling you. He is the best player in the NHL that nobody even knows plays in the league.
Columbus may actually go with seven defensemen tonight, right?
That's right. William Karlsson had to go back to Columbus because he's dealing with some kind of flu bug or something like that. So yeah,
they're not the mumps. It's not the mumps, is it?
Hope not.
Don't even go down that road. This mumps thing is bad. Minnesota's had it now twice. You know, they had it 2 years ago, and now they have it again.
Yeah. By the way,
this is bad stuff. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, the goal last night that won the game for Minnesota. I mean,
Wild with the puck. Pardon the pun. Goaltenders have switched sides. Here comes Granlund. Looks to cut through. Granlund to the net. He scores.
The Wild, who had Havlat and Ryan White in the lineup, Ryan White in fact scored with an incredible goal, as you heard right off the opening faceoff.
Well, Mikael Granlund learned so much at the Sochi Olympics playing on a line with Timo Solani. That really turned his career around. And obviously adding Eric Staal's helped a lot. And Charlie Coyle, I think, is the most improved player in the league, along with Kevin Hayes in New York with the Rangers. But here's the deal. Remember how mad I was with Arizona? They traded Ryan White and Martin Hanzel, and they didn't get one warm body. They didn't get one warm body. And you see the influence those guys had on Minnesota last night against a really desperate L.A. team? They're just warming up. Those guys didn't get in until late yesterday afternoon. Minnesota's going to be a wrecking machine. In fact, they just pulled us out. March 12th, we were supposed to do Rangers at Detroit. And I got a thing this afternoon. I had to change my travel. We're doing Minnesota at Chicago, 11:30 start on March 12th on the big NBC, just because of where Minnesota is right now. So they're for real. They're totally for real.
Pierre, 2 hours ago, I had somebody very, very special in studio. She's going to be performing on stage at Place des Arts Théâtre Maisonneuve tomorrow night as part of the Festival of Lights. Any idea who this might be?
Oh, Ricky Lee Jones.
What's that?
Ricky Lee Jones.